Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard of FanRagSports.com and Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We are here with you on a Tuesday, ready to talk more off-ball linebackers for the 2018 NFL Draft. Who we got on tap today, Trevor?
We got Malik Jefferson from Texas and Jerome Baker from Ohio State.
If you had a gun to most analysts or like draft fans, you know, college football fans, people, their head, and you said,
you're probably going to jail for one.
Yes, that's very true. Who's LB1 right now? Do you think most people would say Malik Jefferson?
I think most people would say Malik Jefferson.
Just kind of like automatically, not because they've like studied him and are like, oh, yes, definitely Malik Jefferson.
Well, I mean, he's been playing for, 2 years. True freshman, true sophomore, he's been playing for 2 years, and now he's coming into his draft-eligible year. So I think, that is that's kind of – he's the default name that everybody knows at this point.
And we should say that Malik Jefferson, like Rashawn Evans the other day, except he kind of mixes it up. Jefferson does a little bit, but he plays on the edge too at times. And we'll come off that. It's like a 3-4 stand-up outside linebacker type of role. He is listed – on NFL Draft Scout at 6'1 and a half, 240 pounds. So size, probably not an issue with him. Doesn't look like an issue on tape. He appears to be your prototypical off-ball size linebacker if you were going to build one. He looks the part for sure.
My favorite part about him might be that his nickname is the Predator because he has dreads.
That's actually so pretty good.
I'm a big fan of that. Big fan.
That's great, actually. Kind of just elevated him, honestly, on my board. That's really phenomenal.
I was about to talk bad about him, but now that that's his nickname, we gotta rethink.
We basically got to come up with a whole new show here now. But he had 61 and 60 tackles the last two seasons. So in 7 for loss in 2015 and 9 for loss in 2016. And his sack numbers went up. He went from 2.5 to 6.5 this past season. But other than that, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 2 years have basically mirrored each other in terms of production. Very, very similar seasons. How's the best way to describe Malik Jefferson? Methodical, maybe? Like when he's out, when he sees something on the perimeter, he's a run and hit type of guy. But I think in the box, he really struggles to process things quickly. He doesn't really play downhill as much as he does kind of patrol at the second level. If he stays clean, he can get himself in position to make a stop, but he can get tied up by blockers. I didn't see like a natural, instinctive, hunt the football type of player like we've seen in past drafts with certain guys. I didn't see that with him. You know, when you're talking about premier guys, I think people saw traits that could be that way in Reddick when he was at the Senior Bowl. I think obviously you saw that with Ruben Foster. I mean, there were traits with those first round guys that I think a lot of people saw. Okay, they have a natural understanding where the ball's going. They read their keys and process incredibly quickly. They kind of know from formations and alignments different things that could be coming. They carry out and execute their jobs quickly. There's flashes of it with Malik Jefferson. He's not nearly as explosive as guys like Reddick or Foster, but there's flashes of those things. I saw a good athlete, not a great one. I think he's a good football player. Did I see, like, you know, this guy's top 15, top 10 type of lock player? I just didn't see that when I put on his tape.
Yeah, I think the word that you'd use to describe Jefferson, I mean, to this point, you know, let's remember, obviously, when you were talking about freshman and sophomore years, it's young. And junior years are normally the years that you see the huge bump in production anyways. But since there is plenty of tape on him and we do see a lot of his natural traits, I think the word is good. Mm-hmm. It's not great. It's not bad. But he, you know, it's like he is a good linebacker. But, you know, you mentioned two of the top guys, Reddick and Foster from last year's linebacker class. Let's even go like further down the list. What does he do better than Jared Davis or Jalen Reeves-Maybin? Like, I know those guys had some injury history, and that's why that they were drafted lower. But
he might take better paths to the ball than Jared Davis did. I know. I'm sorry. That's slander.
But not always. Not I mean, always, Jared though. Davis, if Jared Davis could read where the ball was going, like, correctly, like, anticipate, he was much faster. He's much more of
much,
an athlete.
Much more explosive, yeah.
You know? So one of those things, you might be able to coach more into him, recognizing where the ball is going, being better at anticipating. Some of it's mental processing, and guys just won't get it. I get that. But in terms of the NFL draft, like, you can't really teach athleticism. And so if Davis is getting drafted in the second round, Reeves Maven's getting drafted in the fourth. Like I said, I know those guys have injuries.
Davis went
in
the first, didn't he?
No, Davis went in the second, didn't he?
Did he?
Or did he go in the first?
I think he went in the first. Yeah.
Did he go at the end of the first?
He was like 20. Detroit picked him, right? Yeah, 21.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. So I just, he's like, he's got to be somewhere in between that huge gap that they played or that they got drafted in. And so I think Jefferson right now is a day two guy. But the stuff that we're hearing, and granted, like, I'm sure most of our listeners know this. You got to take everything with a grain of salt when you're hearing about these, like, watch lists and some of these rankings, because a lot of times, of course, not here. You know, we do our homework here, and we're the we're the only draft sources listed, obviously. But there are a lot. I mean, because I've been on the other side of this. I wrote for – I did freelancing for draft outlets for a long time where they would just be like, hey, we need off-season content. So come up with a – basically just this giant list of names for NFL draft prospects. And that's what they do. And to be honest, like, they wanted so much stuff from me. They want so much stuff that has to go up that a lot of times you can't even really read about these guys. You're just looking up who they are. You're looking up their stats, and that's about it.
Right.
I barely even had time to go over their tape when I was doing this. Right. I had to wait until after the season to really do that. And so we hear names, and the reason I bring that up is because we hear names like Malik Jefferson, because that's one of the names that we know. And the problem is that once one person writes about him, like if a national outlet writes about him, every other outlet just jumps on it and goes, yeah, well, yeah, Malik Jefferson, watch out for him, all of this. And all of a sudden we get caught up into this, he's the only name I know, so he's a first-round pick kind of a guy. Like if a linebacker's going to go in the first round, like it's got to be this guy. And I just think that's being really unfair to Malik Jefferson, who could be a good football player, who I even saw somebody compare him to, I can't remember who, like Jalen Smith out of Notre Dame. And he's not near the athlete Jalen Smith was. And so, like, I don't know where people are getting – they're just talking about names that were these first-round LB1 kind of players. And I just think that's really unfair to Jefferson, who shows a lot more limitation in what he can do. He's a fine football player. He obviously still has his junior year to go, and I'm, you know, excited. We're all excited to see what he can do. But in terms of the traits and the things, the building blocks that he showed previously, we're not talking about a first round linebacker right now, I don't think.
I liked him as an athlete. I really did. I didn't, like you said, the explosive traits like you see with Jared Davis even, and I wasn't even super high on Davis, as you know, but the explosive traits that you saw with Davis, definitely more noticeable than they are with Jefferson. He'll like pick his way through a little bit, but he can get caught up in the trash too, and I think he's going to be a lot better as a 4-3 outside linebacker, maybe even a Sam because he has that experience. Maybe he steps up on the edge. I think he could do really well in a hybrid role like that on a defense that has some good players.
Where do you draft a Sam, though? The Buccaneers just went through this because they have Quan Alexander and Levante David in the middle, which really allows him to play a nickel defense a lot, and that's what they like to do. Sure. But now they have this Sam role leading up, and people going into the draft are like, oh, well, how high could the Bucs draft a linebacker to replace the Sam role? It's like, okay, well, if you're only playing in base 35-40% of the time, how high are you drafting a Sam? And I don't think Malik Jefferson's a guy who you could put with his hand in the ground as like also a hybrid DN.
No, but he's maybe he stands up and rushes the passer. I have to see more of him to see. I didn't think I caught any of the games where he had like a lot of like real rush opportunities off the edge. So I haven't scouted him in that capacity at all. Like the games that I caught, I felt like he was mostly like run defending when he was on the edge. Or it was like a RPO type deal, and you know, he didn't get to really rush. He kind of got held by the play action. So
that's fair.
That's the only case though, in answer to your question. Like if you're drafting a Sam in the first round, he better be able to rush the passer situationally, and better be a defense like that where he's going to get his opportunities to make those kind of high impact plays, like you saw, I think, with somebody like Reddick. So I think that's probably the scenario is somebody who brings that juice for that capacity of the game, because that's the area. I mean, you're drafting those, you know, pass rushers, edge rushers. Those are the guys that are really worth something, high value picks in today's NFL. And so if they can bring that at least situationally, as well as being a good off ball player when they need to be, I think you've got enough to talk yourself into a first round player. I am a fan of his game overall, but I guess it goes back to what you said compared to the hype.
I don't know, it's unfair. Yeah. It's unfair for him.
It just doesn't seem like he has the type of skill set to live up to that type of hype.
He's a good football player. Yeah, but right now, like, don't tell me he's Jalen Smith,
right?
Because he's not. Don't tell me he's Hassan Reddick, because he's not. Don't tell me he could be, you know, picked where even like some of the other these Alabama guys could be picked, because I don't think he can at this point. So obviously it's a summer preseason little scouting series, and we're talking about little areas of his game that he could probably improve and that we'd like to see him get better at, because right now I think that he is pegged too much in a position or to a position that doesn't hold enough value for him to get drafted as high as we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. even if you like him, even if you like what he has shown on tape right now, that's fine. I have no problem with you liking that, even if you like it more than I do. But to tell me an off-ball who isn't a transcendent athlete who might only play Sam is getting drafted top 32, you're wild. So yeah. I think we just have to see different stuff from him this year, and hopefully we will. You know, Texas probably realizing that it's his last year there, so they're going to go all out with him, get pretty creative. And it's a new regime, so who knows?
I think this, he does have this going for him. I think he has the traits to develop into a good coverage player.
I think
he's asked to rush a lot now. Like, even blitzes a lot of that, and such. But yeah, you don't see him in coverage as much because he's asked to attack and blitz. Like, even if it's like not off the edge, but like a gap blitzes and things like that, he did that a lot. And it wasn't always in coverage. So I think that if you ask me, can Malik Jefferson stay on the field for all three downs in the NFL? Yes, is my answer. You know, as long as he can develop mentally and technically, I think yes is the answer to that question. So
I would agree.
There's value in that aspect of it. And if he can rush the passer, maybe does a little bit of everything. And so teams will find value in that as well. But yeah, I think that that's essentially what you're looking for with him is, you know, is this a guy that can be, you know, consistently everything that you need him to be as a player? You know, that's when things start to get a little bit more, you know, sticky in terms of his run defense, especially, I think.
Yep.
Baker, we got Jerome Baker. Watched some Jerome Baker from Ohio State, didn't we? What'd you think of him?
I think he might be more athlete than linebacker. And I know we were talking about this a little bit before we watched the film. You were telling me you had a couple of issues with him here. And I actually didn't. You said yesterday, you're like, I have a couple of issues with Jerome Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask you what those were, and I watched him myself, and we kind of came away with a little bit of the same thing. He seems a little bit undersized, seems to get bullied a little bit. He can make plays, you know, run into the ball and getting around for gang tackles, but unless he is – now, I will say that I guess when gaps are available, like when he's blitzing – I thought he did a decent job of like finding the holes of where he should blitz and getting up into the pocket. I thought he showed good anticipation there. But most of his production in the backfield is him going unblocked. Like, it's him finding that seam where he's going unblocked, and then he doesn't even have to worry about getting off a block. Because normally, if you ask him to get off a block, not going to go well for him. Do you have his height and weight in front of you? Because I do not remember. So what was it?
He's 6'2", 225. That's what NFL Draft Scout has him at.
That's light.
Yeah,
that's
real light, man. I mean, essentially, this is like a box safety player to me when I watched him. I thought when he's clean and just has to run and chase and stuff's going to the perimeter and he's in the slot out in space and they throw a screen, he's going to look good in those situations, I think. When he's in the box, it's totally hit or miss. It's very similar to – we did the same thing with Darren Lee, man. Everybody – fell in love with a couple plays a game that Darren Lee would make in space or on screens or in coverage or something like that. And he gets to the NFL. He wasn't technically refined. He wasn't big enough. His mental processing wasn't where it needed to be. He got scooped way too often on zones because he was too slow to flow to the ball. It's so many similar mistakes with Jerome Baker, I think. And Lee was a phenomenal athlete. And I think Baker's a good athlete as well. No question there, but and here's the other thing that's going to throw off Baker right now. Splash plays. When people watch these guys. And Ryan Anderson was a great example of it last year, except that he was not a good athlete. But Ryan Anderson for Alabama had, what, how many fumble recoveries slash forced fumble type situations down the stretch last season? I mean, like,
yeah,
in the playoffs, yeah, and stuff. Yeah, it was like four or five different instances in over the year. And so he got labeled as this big play guy. The Washington game, remember when he had the interception? He dropped back into coverage. Good awareness for him, dropping back into coverage. Ball was thrown right to him. He's got an open path for a pick six. But Anderson's stock elevated in people's mind with his performance in the playoffs last year, despite the fact that his sacks were largely of the hustle variety, typically created by other players. His fumble recoveries were literally created by other players, and the ball bounced to him. And there
fumble
were two
recoveries
of those in like
are,
the Clemson
is
game.
Is always the weirdest stat to me.
Right, but this is what people see, though.
How do we care? Why do you care about fumble recoveries?
It's a luck thing more than
anything.
It's
literally 100% luck, yeah, unless you are stripping the ball and you're the one who gets it.
Right.
Because you're that much of a beast.
Yeah.
Like, what?
But this is what happens. Yeah. Splash plays get elevated in people's mind because they see
six fumble recoveries.
He's
who
just
cares?
The ball is a magnet to him, man. The ball is just on, you know, that's the way people talk about it, though. It's just in that. So I think in Jerome Bettis, and that, not to say playmakers are important, obviously, but there's a difference between guys who create plays on their own and guys who the ball just happened to find for a couple games in a row. You know what I mean? And so Baker, he had two picks last year. One of them he returned for a touchdown and a fumble recovery as well. And he had 3.5 sacks last year, like you said, on blitzes. A lot of the time we're talking about guys late to pick them up and things like that. So did he make some good plays over the course of the season? Yes. Does he have splash play ability moving forward? I think he does, especially in coverage, because he is such a good athlete. And I think he can learn to play the game and process it at a higher level. You know, assuming that about him, that he does do that, then I think he will be a good player in coverage. I think he has that three downs. Here's the question. His skills are not going to be, you're not going to be concerned about him on third down. You're concerned about a guy like Baker on first and second, because if you get a hat on him, it's over. He's not impacting the play. He's not getting off blocks. He was consistently late to fill his gap assignments, I thought. And granted, we're talking about a guy who was in his first year starting, so, you know, keep that in mind here. But was consistently late, I thought, to fill in a lot of ways as a run defender. I think I mentioned to you, I think it was the Wisconsin game really stood out to me the most, where, I mean, it was Raekwon McMillan against the world in that game, because he was not getting much help from anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin was just beating the tar out of those guys. Mm-hmm. And Baker really, really struggled. So for every splash play that magnifies in your mind, which there were some, and he did do a good job of contributing in that way, there's a good chunk of negative plays that I think we're overlooking with a guy like Baker. Do I think he has upside? Yes. But do I think he needs to get bigger? Absolutely. I mean, they're just not a lot of 6'2", 225, and everybody's going to say, no, Deion Buchanan. Good luck finding a guy that processes a Deion Buchanan speed and his size. Like, it just doesn't happen, you know, very often. And so I think Baker has to get bigger. He doesn't have a ton of frame to get bigger, but I think he can add some weight at least. I'm sure he will as he progresses in college. Again, the athletic traits shine through for a lot of teams, man. We've seen that over the years. But just because he may be a first-round prospect, and I understand why people say that, I don't think it means he necessarily is a first-round player right now. That could potentially happen down the road. Maybe it happens this season and there's a big leap. I don't know. I love the raw skill sets, but the size, the technical and mental refinement, those things all really worry me right now about him playing an off-ball linebacker position.
Yeah, I didn't know that first round was like the thought with Baker.
The NFL draft scout has him listed number one out of 186 outside linebackers. That's usually, you know,
would you pick him over either of the Bama guys?
This is for the 2019 class. Keep that in mind, because they organize it by classes. I think Baker's upside is similar to what Rashawn Evans offers in some ways, but Evans is bigger and way stronger right now.
I just think there's too much that we still have to see. Well, okay, for me right now, there's too much that we have to see with Baker.
I think that's a fair way to say it, yes.
You were spot on at the very beginning when you said he's like a box safety right now. You can't play linebacker at 225.
You're going to be a liability.
Like, what does Telvin Smith weigh right now? And Telvin Smith was like, super twitched up.
That's, you know, Jerome Baker's ceiling, probably. That's like who he should, because Talvin Smith has a lot of positive plays, and he's a playmaker, no question about that.
Right, but how many Talvin Smiths are there?
Right, how many Talvin Smiths are there? And there's a decent number of plays every game where Talvin Smith gets blocked out because there are some limitations size wise. I think he's a really good player. I loved him coming out. I said so. He was a guy that I was happy to have hit on, but at the end of the day, Talvin Smith isn't Bobby Wagner or Luke Kuechly, and there are some limitations to what he does. So, and I think he's a more instinctive and better mental processor right now than Jerome Baker is. So
he's taller but weighs less. So Talvin Smith is 6'3", 215, 220-ish.
I think he's bigger than that now, though.
And at the combine, he was 6'3", 218. So he's probably
– I think he's like 230 right now.
So he would have height – and wait on Baker. It's just hard for me to. I don't know. You can't play at the NFL at that kind of weight. I don't think you just become
you gotta
a lot
be
of
rare. Yeah, you got to be an outlier. And right now, I just see that. Here's the thing: that Baker is going to make plays in every game that get you to say, "Whoa, what was that? Holy crap!" But the problem is, for every time that happens, there's a missed assignment or there's
because how much of that is on Ohio State's defensive line?
Yeah.
I
mean, did you think that group was great last year?
The defensive line?
Yeah, Ohio State.
I mean, I think it's like phenomenal every year, so I don't know. I don't remember. Was I supposed to think it was bad?
I don't know. See, I go back to this.
They're like, we've been over this, dude. They're like monsters.
I know, but I go back to this when I watch them. I thought
like, hey, it's Indiana playing Ohio State this week. All right, well, rip. In piece, five
I thought
offensive
blockers
lines.
Descended on those linebackers easily, though. I didn't think that their defensive linemen kept bodies off. And part of it was this way they played, but their defensive linemen didn't keep bodies off the linebackers.
Four pass rushers every play?
Yeah, they shot gaps like every play and moved gaps like every play. Like they weren't holding the point of attack. They weren't
right.
Getting blocks, nothing like that. Yeah. So this partly the system, but I think the system had to be in place because they didn't really have many space eaters. They had a lot of undersized guys up front. We even talked about that last week. And so I think it left the linebackers in some tough spots as a result. But here's the thing. If you can process quickly enough and get to your spot quickly enough, then that shouldn't be as big of an issue. And I just didn't think Baker did that consistently. Yes, you could probably cover him up with a bigger defensive line to a degree. But again, I think he has to get better mentally. I think he has to get stronger. He just got swallowed up way too often.
What do you think of him in coverage? Like, is he? I only watch a couple of games of him. I think two or three.
I think good awareness in zone for sure. Yeah.
Then I mean, what's the possibility of him playing as almost like a nickel linebacker? But when I say a nickel linebacker,
like
I Jabril don't mean
Peppers.
Like a middle. Yeah, almost.
Right.
Kinda.
Like
a
big nickel.
Like almost as if a team can play 4-3 base, but they can have Baker as one of their outside linebackers, and if the opposing team goes three wide receivers or motions a tight end out or something, he's already on the field and can line up against him. Mm-hmm. I don't know, is that
No, I think that's I mean, he has to get more, better with his footwork, reading routes, things like that. I need
role.
To see
like,
more.
He's
going to
stay
too.
At the same weight. I could see that role.
Yeah,
and
right.
I could see it be a nice role. I don't know how much that he would play. It would have to be a unique team. It'd have to be a pretty unique defensive coordinator. So again, I don't really know how high he gets drafted because of that. But I do see. I could see a place like if we're getting creative like that. I could see a place where he would be productive.
Right. Nope. I don't disagree. Yeah. I think that. Right. I think. Here's the thing. I think Baker and Jefferson are both can be. I think Jefferson's a good player. I think Baker can become a good player. Over time, we'll see. I think the ceiling for Baker is pretty high. I mean,
What do you think is the key to his ceiling, though? Is it just weight?
No, I think it's that mental processing, too. Like right now, he'll get scooped on the backside of plays. There's times where he sees it and you see the flashes of it, but it's far too inconsistent. He doesn't get off blocks very easily, so he's got to consistently be instinctive. If you're going to play that size in the box, you got to consistently be instinctive and seeking out the ball and reading your keys and reacting to them and bringing the fight to other players. And I just saw way too often where he was too slow to react, too timid, got picked up on the backside, couldn't flow over and fill his lane against stretch plays, things like that. That I was just kind of like, he's a liability right now. Like he's legitimately a liability, and you hope for a splash play to offset it. That's basically what you hope for with Baker. I just don't think that's a formula for success in the NFL. I think that's what we did with Darren Lee. We hoped that he was terrible as a rookie, and maybe he'll, you know, I think he will get better. I'm sure he will. But, you know, I think that's what we did. We overlooked those things because we saw a couple splash plays, tackles for loss in space, things like that. But on a consistent basis, playing the position he's playing, a lot more goes into it on the mental side of it, the processing side of it. Linebacker is probably the most cerebral position on the defensive side of the ball. I can live with you not being a tremendous athlete as long as you can process quickly and finish as a tackler. You know, I obviously would love for you to be an athlete, to play all three downs and to have that range. But I think those are really important parts of the position, and I think that those are parts that Jefferson and Baker both have to get better at if they're going to reach their ceilings in the NFL.
That's what we're here for, to educate the people.
That's right. We're probably going to take some flack for this one, but that's okay. There's a lot of love out there for both these dudes right now, man.
That's
Joe
fine.
Marino over at NDT is going to be coming for my neck.
What? Which one?
He loves
for
Baker.
Which one? He does?
Baker, yeah.
He does?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's,
and I get it. I do get it. I just, you know.
Maybe
we
got to have him on the pod for a roast session. I'll just sit back, giant bag of popcorn. You'll hear me crunching away. See how we're going at it.
Elite. Tomorrow we talk Chi-Chi and the kid from Virginia, right? Kaiser? Micah Kaiser?
I don't know. You had the schedule, not me. He's the schedule.
I think
it was
Micah Kaiser.
Not me.
Let me look at the schedule right now, but I think it was Kaiser. Chi-Chi, I'm really excited about.
All
to
right,
talk
Sean
about
Kaiser and Chidi on.
Sean Kaiser?
So we're talking about
Micah
tomorrow.
Kaiser. I watched a Sean Kaiser today when I was watching Malik Jefferson. Little throwback action.
Oh, yeah, right. The Notre Dame game.
Yeah, I was watching it because I wanted to see him against a really good offensive line. Some good offensive lineman, anyway. He avoided getting gripped up by Quentin Nelson, I believe, throughout the entire game. So
good. Don't
successful.
Get sucked into that man.
That's right.
He'll lock
right.
you up.
All right. Sounds good. So we'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk more off-ball linebackers the next 2 days. Friday, we'll do our Fan Friday, wrap things up, and then we're moving into the secondary and then college football previews just around the corner, man. Get into that time of the year. You could start to smell it in the air too. It gets college football, NFL football. That's what I'm here for. Sounds good. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. More NFL draft talk on 2018 prospects. But for now, make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.